Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Influential She. This is our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm your co-host, Deb Soholt.
And I'm Mel Schopp, and we are here today to discuss one of our high leverage practices that we probably started out with, and that's the high leverage practice of self. Our byline, or the thing that we always talk about when we're talking about self, is just that, being completely who you are and living out your values. Sort of like, you know, what it is when you're just really feeling like you're in the groove and things are going well, and just really settled into who you are and what you really want for yourself.
You're so right, Mel. And I think this is one of those things that when we combined our wisdom of being out in the workforce 40 years, each of us, and saying we've got about 80 years of experience, to think about what were the things that we didn't necessarily nail early in our careers. And I think one of those was really having a good sense of self. Now, I don't think it's something that, you know, we didn't know anything about ourselves, but it was one of those things that we didn't necessarily honor and respect, those core values that are deep-seated inside of us that we carried from our families and how we grew up and just really are part of the essence of who we are. And if earlier we could understand who we are, how we could have leveraged that in an influential way.
And that's why I think the guest we have today is actually something brand new for us, because this is going to be not only our youngest guest, but she's bringing so much wisdom with her. Let me tell you what, Brenna, if I could have had half of your moxie.
Half of it.
Just even a quarter of it at the age that I am even, I'm just really impressed. So let me just tell you a little bit about Brenna and how I got to know her. We've never met in person, but I do have to say that we've had the opportunity to have some virtual calls. And this young woman just graduated from high school. And so that kind of tells you her age. She is from California. And just to get some context to how brilliant and amazing she is, she's headed to Brown, but not going until January. Is that right, Brenna?
Yes, not until January.
Due to COVID. So it's Brenna Pangalinan. And she is, what makes her so extraordinary is that she's actually served this last year on the State California Board of Education as a student representative. So we're going to start there, Brenna. And I think all of us are curious about how in the world did you make that leap? California is one of our largest states in the nation, the most students in the nation. And think about the opportunity that you had. So tell us how you actually managed to make that happen.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said before, I think my story is the perfect example and, you know, the perfect story to talk about that high leverage practice of self, because, you know, I still am in that process, and it was a huge process to find that passion. So that happened around sophomore year, I would say, is when I started to really dig deep, and I was overwhelmed and I knew that I had a purpose, but I didn't know if I could do anything meaningful at my age. You know, I was only a sophomore in high school, and I was just feeling that there was really no avenue for me to, you know, put my passions to action. And I just started taking positions that I was uncomfortable with. So I first got involved in my local district board. I got involved with my school's ASB, my associated student body. And I just started doing things that I was definitely afraid of, because, you know, the first 2 years of high school, I would say I was trying to follow in the footsteps of my brother. He's very talented in STEM, and I was taking classes that he was taking. It didn't really make sense anymore because I wasn't passionate about the same things that he was. And there was no reason for me to act like I was. So I started to just go for positions. The position that really, I think, worked with my passions the most is when I started to serve on my local district board. And that, I would say, opened up the most opportunities for me. So I served on my local district board. I went for it. I had no idea what I was getting into. As a student, it's really hard to walk into a boardroom full of adults and you're not quite sure what you're doing. They're giving presentations about the finances of your school district. And it's hard, but that position and the positions I chose, there's consequences if you don't catch up. And I think that that pushed me so much to be uncomfortable in what I was doing. And that discomfort is really how I started to grow.
I think that what will be really interesting to people too is in California, you actually have a vote on the board. Is that correct?
Yeah. So at first in my local district board, you have a preferential vote. So it's just symbolic. But on the actual, the State Board of Education, you do have a vote that counts.
I want to circle back just a little bit. Certainly, we want to hear more about when you were just even on the local board and talking about being so uncomfortable. But I want to circle back to how uncomfortable you were as a sophomore. I mean, I was probably trying to figure out, is this a good outfit to wear to school when I was a sophomore in high school? So, you know, talk a little bit about what was that stirring like for you? I mean, how could you sense and feel for yourself? I mean, I understand the part about not wanting to necessarily pursue what your sibling is doing. I think a lot of us think about that when you have an older sibling, which I did, and Mel certainly did. But what was it for you to feel this uncomfortableness and to really start to tap into your passion? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So, I mean, I actually have a very, very vivid memory my sophomore year. And I was in my room and my mom came in and I broke down. I really did. I know myself and I love when I can pour myself into something that I believe in. That's just my personality. And I didn't have that. And what I was doing at the time just wasn't cutting it. I think being uncomfortable was better than feeling like I wasn't doing what I was meant to be doing. And that was the trade-off for me because it is very intimidating to go for things that you aren't really qualified for because at the time I didn't have any experience in terms of the way a local district is run. I mean, I'm a sophomore in high school. I don't think anybody is expected to be an expert when you're a sophomore in high school. But to me, catching up and putting myself out there and learning, that discomfort was better than the discomfort I felt that I was doing nothing.
I mean, so Brenna, that's like an incredible level of knowing yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, and maturity to say, you know, here's one of those crossroads for me as a person. Being uncomfortable, feeling discomfort can come from not expressing who you truly are or scaring yourself to death to go seize who you really are. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what I heard you say, which I just think is so incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am so glad that that's what I chose because from there, once I made that decision, that's when things started falling into place.
But you obviously made some choices to make that happen. I think a lot of us say that. I remember doing this, saying, I just got really lucky or, you know, I was in the right place at the right time and so forth. But obviously, I mean, you were really clear. You made some clear choices in making a decision that helped you to get to where you are today, which you have an amazing, obviously, future in front of you. But you obviously made that choice that helped you to go further, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was something really clear in your mind.
And I would say that one choice was very important. But I would also emphasize, I can share a story that I think perfectly sums up what happened after that. It was probably the best advice that I got from somebody. It was at a conference. One woman we were just having a conversation and she kind of explained to me what I had gone through in a way that is understandable and in a way that I can approach my life moving forward. So she described everybody as molecules and we're all just bouncing around and bouncing off of each other and taking something or giving something through, you know, whatever encounter we have. And she said, why not show up to a group meeting that you have no idea what's going on about? Because there might be a person there that could give something to you that could change your trajectory. You might bounce off of somebody who could be instrumental in the next phase of your life. And that's what I started to do. I mean, who knows if I will, I didn't know if this would stick with me my entire life. I'm not saying that, you know, what I was doing was I found my passion, but taking those positions put me in front of people that were able to give me some sort of knowledge to guide me into the next step.
That is a great example. And what a great story. So I think that I can even use that with you, Brenna, because I think about how we found each other in sort of this serendipitous route where I know somebody else who's on the state board of education in California who said, you've got to meet this amazing young woman that opened up the door for us to meet. And that's like, hey, Brenna, we really need to do a podcast with you. So, you know, so there's the molecules bouncing around, I guess. So with that happening, that how did you go from being on the your local district board all the way to being on the California State Board?
Yeah. So my superintendent, my district superintendent told me about the opportunity. And at that point, I was a little stressed out about the things I had already committed to, but it just seemed so interesting. And I do remember my mom saying, are you sure you want to go for this? You know, we looked into the process, the application process, and there was a ton of steps. It, you know, was about a 6-month process. And I definitely at that time tried to prioritize, you know, what I wanted to do. But again, I think at that point, I had thought, you know, me going for this position has given me so much more perspective. Even if I don't get it, might as well try. And that's how I really approach anything now. So I really wasn't, some people know about this position there for a very long time. Some people really work up to this position, but I found out about it on the spot and just decided to go for it. And first off, you just fill out an application like any really other job, just a regular application. And then they get that pool down to 12. And then those 12 are sent to Sacramento for a conference. And you give a bunch of speeches. You have a bunch of conversations with delegate students. And those students vote you down to 6. Then those 6 are interviewed by the state board staff, other representatives from the board, and then down to 3 again. And those 3 are interviewed by the governor's staff, and the governor appoints the student to the state board of education. So that was a 6-month process. Not know what I was getting into. And I just kept making it past each step and running with it. And honestly, even from the first application process, I learned something. So looking back at it, obviously I was so excited to get the position, but even the application process was an amazing growing experience.
Wow. So Brenna, I mean, you have an incredible story to inspire young women that want to start building their influence at an early age. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the things you learned about yourself, just even in that application process.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that I learned was that, and again, this is more advice that I got, but especially in terms of interviews or speeches or anything, one person told me, if you know your beliefs, you can answer any question that anyone gives you. And that, I think, was the most helpful when I entered that process, because there's nothing that trips you up when you know yourself. There's nothing that you're scared to answer if you know what you believe in. And that was my approach in that entire process. Just being honest and being truthful to my values. And there's no trick question when you know yourself like that.
That's a really powerful statement.
Totally. I mean, yeah. And that's all about the high leverage practice of self is what do you believe and what are your core values? So how did you tap into getting clear about those?
You know, in terms of interviews and that whole process, instead of, you know, thinking about, oh, what questions could they ask me or what do I think people will prioritize? I really did spend a ton of time before going to Sacramento just sitting down and brainstorming, because it was about education. What do I value in education? How can I use this position to do better? And that just takes some time. That takes some brainstorming. That takes some serious reflection. So rather than worrying about what other people were going to ask me, I focused on my values, just sitting down and writing down ideas. And that served me extremely well when I went.
So, all right, you got this exciting position, Brenna, mm-hmm. on the State Board of Education through this arduous application process. Talk about what it was like to like walk in that room for the first time. Like, I know you're super excited, yeah. but there had to have been some real feelings because this is like a whole new arena for you. And I understand the uncomfortableness, but just tell our listeners what it was like to do it.
That was definitely an interesting first experience. The first time my family came, but the second time I was traveling alone. But like I said before, I entered it with a huge responsibility, and there's consequences when your vote counts. And that's what I felt was the most intimidating, not just that I was in a room full of experts, but that I had a responsibility to the students, because these are real decisions being made, and these are real decisions that are affecting students. So the way I entered that is just being as prepared as possible. I spent a ton of time before that meeting preparing, asking questions, not being afraid to reach out. Also, I think it's okay as a student to not understand something. You know, a lot of the issues that we dealt with on the State Board have been years or decades in the making. So there's a lot of history involved, and it was my job to catch up. So I had to be okay being vulnerable and admitting, I don't understand this. And that's what I tried to do before I got to my first board meeting, because I didn't want to be in that position, you know, in real time. So that's kind of how I prepared for it. So luckily, by the time I walked into the room, I felt like I had a pretty good foundation. But obviously, still, you're sitting on a dais of, you know, adults who are extremely, extremely well-known and respected in education. So I just tried to hold my own and understand that although they are, you know, experienced in education, I am the only student here. And that's an important voice to include. Even though I don't have the experience in terms of, you know, learning the history and having that educational background, I am the only one that is directly affected by the policies we're deciding right now.
I'm really curious, Brenna, what was one of the most difficult votes you took? I'm kind of curious about that.
The most difficult votes that we usually took were charter school hearings.
Okay.
And that's the most controversial topic that we would usually deal with. So mm-hmm. a lot of charter schools would, it's hard because, you know, if a charter school isn't performing and we vote to close the charter school, mm-hmm. there's kids affected by that. And mm-hmm. those are kids that are left without a school to go back to. They're going to have to change where they're going. So it's affecting real kids. And that's the one where you really do see the direct impact. Mm-hmm. And you feel the responsibility that, okay, yeah, my decision is affecting kids. So those were probably the most difficult decisions that we had to make.
You know, you told us something and when we talked to you the other day that was really, I thought was really cool, and that the makeup of the California State Board. You want to share that with mm-hmm. our listeners? Because that's pretty interesting. When I think back on education in general, about typically who the leadership was, can you share with that, the makeup of the State Board? Because I think it's great.
Yeah. And that was another thing when I walked in, you know, in my first board meeting that I was pretty shocked about. I served with 8 other women, only one man. Only one other man. And that was an amazing thing to witness. And not only, I mean, it was a relatively diverse board too.
Right.
So not just 8 women, it was 8 diverse women. And I am so grateful to have been on the board at that time. There were a lot of changes, I believe, before I came mm-hmm. onto the board. Mm-hmm. So I'm just grateful to have witnessed that.
And that's somewhat of a change in the leadership in education, right, Mel? Hasn't it typically been
exactly.
more heavy with men in those male leadership dominate. Roles versus women? Yep, male dominated, even though the right. workforce is a lot of women.
Definitely. And I think isn't even the staff, I think, for the California State Board, you have a lot of really strong women there as well, correct?
Yes, for sure.
Who are really powerhouses in that mm-hmm. respect as well.
So Brenna, talk a little bit about how your perspective grew by being in this arena. Like, what were some of the things that you learned from them, not only from them, but about them and about yourself?
I definitely learned a ton and grew from seeing these women so comfortable in their roles and so passionate. Two memories that stuck out that I think I'll share that have helped me grow, two board members and two memories. And the first one was Patricia Rucker, so board member Rucker. And she was one that just so powerful. Every single time she would say something, you listened. You knew it was going to be important. And one of my first board meetings, you know, she would speak for 5 minutes straight with no non-fluencies, never circled back. And I would just sit there like, wow, who am I sitting next to right now? And continuously asking questions. And I would describe her as relentless in hearing and demanding what's right for students, but in such a poised way. And, you know, a staff member, we know in education, there's a lot of acronyms, a lot of ways to really bounce around what's actually happening. And I just remember her not stopping until she got the answer she wanted. And I think that's such an amazing thing to witness at my age as a young woman. If she didn't get what she, you know, was asking for, she'll keep asking. And I just loved her dedication to demanding hearing what's right. And if the question wasn't answered, she wouldn't stop until it was. So that was one really amazing thing to witness. And the other board member, Felisa Ortiz Licon, we're talking about science standards, I believe, or something. And, you know, the staff members, obviously in education, it takes a long time for things to happen. And she just kept questioning, you know, okay, I understand that it takes a long time to make changes in education, but while we're waiting here, there's kids that are not getting the education they deserve. And she apologized for being impatient. She said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm impatient, but, you know, I'm glad we're an impatient board. And I just love that because that's the truth. Although we understood and understand that systems take time to change, I think it's a beautiful thing to be impatient when it comes to people's livelihoods.
So Brenna, let's take that then in your own life, because mm-hmm. here you have, and you have that a whole life ahead of you to do what you want to do. And I know that you are, and you've got this future ahead of you at Brown and you're looking forward, but where do you see your impatience? I'm just curious, like what do you feel that's burning inside of you right now that you want to accomplish, you know, in the near future that you realize that, yeah, you're going to get this degree and then, but what's burning inside of you right now?
Yeah, well, I think right now I'm definitely in a place where I'm reevaluating, and maybe not necessarily a specific thing that I'm burning to do, but watching those women and seeing how passionate they were in their roles and in what they were doing, that's what I'm really trying to get to. And I don't want to not settle, but I don't want to be stuck in a place where I'm not in that role. And that's what I think I learned most from them, in witnessing how passionate they were about what they were doing. So right now, you know, I am in kind of a reset mode. I want to make sure that I'm not going down a path that I will look back and say, you know, I'm not quite sure this is what I'm impatient about, you know? And that's what I'm trying to do so I can use my education in a meaningful way.
You know, Brenna, I think you've just raised such an important point that following passions, knowing yourself, many times it is about sitting back for a minute and just staying in a reflective place mm-hmm. so that you can get clear for yourself again. Like you mm-hmm. had a real moment of clarity when you went to the local board and this restlessness as a sophomore and then going to the state board. But now to say, all right, it's what is good for me is going to start to bubble up. And mm-hmm. I just have to respect that I need to do a reset and think this through again. So I think that's part of sometimes when we hear these recipe books of follow your passion, you know, do this other thing, these five steps, you're going to be successful and know where you're going to go. I think that you have really described how just starting to know yourself best, leading to that trust within yourself that I will figure this out for myself. Mm-hmm. But I'm inspired and excited about these certain things. I just don't know how they're actually going to play out right now.
Yes, exactly. And that's something hard for me. I'm such a doer. I'm a perfectionist. And when I don't feel like I know where I'm going, I do get impatient, but I understand what the last reflective, you know, the last time that I was reflective, all of this happened. And I do feel like I'm in a space and a place where I can do that again. And I want to make sure that I take that pause so I can really, really dedicate myself to this next chapter.
You know, I think this is so cool that you understand yourself so well. I'm like, honestly, I think Mel and I are both kind of blown away because we, you know, you're just that person that we want those characteristics for other women, young women, women, wherever they are in their lives, to be able to realize how powerful they are if they can tap into their real self. I mean, that's how your influence is going to grow and your trajectory is going to accelerate.
Yes.
So I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. Now, you moved way out of what would be a traditional high school lane. I mean, I know a lot of people are doing some of the things that you're doing, but you really reached for a big star and you went and grabbed it. Mm-hmm. So how was that for you in moving out of, you know, what others might perceive as the traditional high school lane and what a girl in high school should be doing and, you know, what should be your perception and concerns? And yet you blew way past that. How was that for you with your friends and, you know, your larger circle of people that were around you?
Yeah, I would say I probably compartmentalized it maybe too much. You know, people kind of knew about what I was doing at the state level, but not really. I'm not one that likes to, you know, if I do something, I'm not talking about it all the time, even though I try and keep that in my home. So, I mean, I did find some amazing people who I could open up to and really tell the amazing stories, because honestly, every single time I went to Sacramento, I just came back so buzzed and so just energetic and excited about what I just witnessed. I was always inspired. And sometimes it was strange to go back to the regular rhythm of school and kind of act like nothing happened. You know, I'm gone for 3 to 4 days and people are like, where were you? And I kind of just came up with a short answer, you know, I was in Sacramento, you know, on the state board. But I would say that I probably compartmentalized it too much. It was interesting to balance because, you know, you come home and I had a football game to go to. And, you know, you just made the decision to close a charter school. Kind of strange balance.
No kidding.
Yep.
Kind of a strange balance, but, you know, I worked with it. And for those that wanted to listen, I would always open up to, but I wasn't, you know, going out there and trying to tell students what I was doing. But, you know, I did have some friends that were close enough that they were always interested in how it went. So I would share some stories.
It's cool you had support.
Yeah, it is cool. But what I do know about you, Brenna, is that you really want to give back, which I think is a true example of somebody who not only is secure within themselves or what they've accomplished, but be able to expand that. So can you explain a little bit about what you're thinking of next to be able to further help other young people your age and obviously younger to be able to take on these leadership roles in California?
Yeah. So right now I am working on the founding of an organization called the California Student Board Member Association. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now in this 6-month period that I have before going to college, and, you know, serving on my local district board and then also on the state board of education. I've seen that there isn't really any uniform way to do this job. There's no support. I came into this thinking, oh, maybe maybe it's just my district that doesn't, you know, have a very clear way to handle this position. But after talking to a lot of student board members, that's the case across the state. So, you know, we have a network of about 30, 40 student board members, and the goal is to not only support those who are already student board members, but to put more students on boards of education. So a lot of districts in California don't have those positions in local areas, and the goal is to expand that. So hopefully more people can have, you know, the experience that I did.
Wow. It's just such exciting things that you're doing, Brenna, and just that, you know, that whole urgency that you talked about and matching it with your passions to try to get things done. I mean, a lot of people talk about things, but you also take yourself and actually do things and get them done. Mm-hmm. It's just really cool. When you think about our generation or women that are accelerating influence right now, those with more experience, what can women of influence today do to help your generation? Because we don't want to be assumptive about what it is that you're looking for. We don't want to be, you know, old school bossy women mm-hmm. trying to tell you how to live your life, but really to be women that would support and unleash who you are in your new generation. How could we help you?
Yeah, well, I think that's a very, very interesting question. And I would say a lot of what I've seen is what more young women my age should see. And it is interesting to compare changes in the way different generations think and perceive the world. And I will say, you know, with my experiences, I'm happy to say we've made it to a point where I really cannot say that anywhere in my mind I would think that my gender or being a woman would hold me back from anything. And that's a really cool mindset shift, because that's just mm-hmm. the way that I view the world now. And that's because of the experience I've had, because I've been able to serve with 8 women who are extremely powerful and passionate about what they do. But I also recognize that not all girls have had that experience. Not all women my age have had that experience. But that's what's changed my perception of the world that I live in. So just like what has been happening, you know, through time, to see women in positions of leadership, just that itself, and seeing women leading companies and serving on boards of education and running for office like we've seen, that's so huge in changing the narrative and letting women like me have no boundary. I don't feel a boundary, and that's so amazing. But I know other girls might not have that outlook.
Boy, we just love that you feel that way. And I think that's a real call to all of us to open up, to bring young women in.
Yes.
In whatever capacity that can be. So even just that own self-discovery in witnessing it in action mm-hmm. and then feeling support from other women, like not discounting young women.
Yeah.
I think that you have just so, I mean, like many times you're waiting for people to graduate from college and get into jobs and get some experience. Okay, well then. But I think we can be more active in lifting up women that are interested. You mm-hmm. had a curiosity. You were interested. You were ready to go for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, to not underestimate the youth of our country and say, you know, we got to unleash you, because we need more and more people to become wildly influential that can start to really, you know, change things, yeah. not only in the country, but in the world. I love that you're one of those people.
Yeah. And I loved one way someone put it. I don't know her name, but it was a woman who became the first female coach in the NFL. And when people were saying, oh, you're the first female coach, her response was, I think it's crazy that we still need to praise the first. And that's the future that I'm hoping for, that when I'm older, I'm not recognized for being the first, you know, woman in this position. I want to be praised because I am doing it better than anyone before me, because I am, you know, qualified for the position and I'm doing the best at it. So I think it's a really interesting transition that's going to happen, and that's just the way it is.
And you're really fortunate, Brenna, that you had the foundation inside of you to be able to make some choices that you did. But I think that, you know, I'm hoping that you're going to be able to take that same message to other women yourself, because, you know, we all learn by watching other people, mm-hmm. but having that voice and being this really strong woman who's not, you know, you're not out there angry that you're the only female that was doing X, Y, and Z. You saw some amazing women, and you will continue to be an amazing woman who stands up and just does work for the value of being a working really, really, really hard, and also bringing value to whatever you do. So that's why I think in our conversation with you today, there's going to be people who take so much away from this, because I think that we do undervalue the voice of young people until they have arrived at something. And I can't tell you what you have, I think, shared with us today and just inspiring me at this point that I wish I had had when I was your age, but still can learn and grow from today. So
yeah, and I am just so grateful for all those before me who have created a world that I can feel this way. And I hope that more women my age, young women, can feel that, because what I witnessed is so important.
Well, Brenna, you're just like such a fabulous young woman. And it just makes us want to fly out to California and like hang out with you for a little bit.
That's right.
So we can talk about some of these things more. And I was thinking it would be really fun to have you back on a podcast in the future. You get a couple of years, a year or two of college under your belt, yeah. to go back again and say, okay, now what has happened in the growth of you? And how are you seeing it differently as you mature in age and mature in insight and perception, and also just the lessons learned from where you're applying your passions, the good things and some of the not so good things, because that's just how life is.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Brenna. I can't thank you enough for taking the time today. I know you've had a long day, but we really appreciate your just your wisdom, as well as just being able to share your story with us. So once again, I want to thank everybody who's tuned in today to another episode of Influential She. I know this is one that we're going to be so excited to be able to share with our listeners. And we just want to thank you. And we always like to leave with one big question that I think Brenna has talked about more than once today. But for you, as somebody who's thinking about yourself and your own value system, are you really in touch with those true values? And do they provide the foundation to help you to grow in your influence? Thanks again to our listeners. We hope that you'll join us again for another episode of Influential She.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.